Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of the sermon printed upon the screen? Thank God for Marriage. Based on the Old Testament reading from Genesis 2 today, these verses. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." And a later verse, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." I invite you to follow the sermon outline. It's provided for you in the handout as we consider this theme, Thank God for Marriage. I'll tell you a little story about a dear friend that Beverly and I have. He's now in the arms of Jesus, but he was a farmer from our congregation back in Alberta where we came from. And his first name is Harold. We decided, as Flory and I have decided, that all good-looking guys are named Harold, right? That's right. Harold was a farmer about 6 foot tall, over 6 foot tall. Big guy, husky guy, farmer his whole life. Harold's wife is named Margie. And Margie was maybe the size of Maria Wischke, maybe about 4 foot ten. Margie and Harold. And Harold, with all the other farmers of the community, would come in daily at 10 o'clock to have coffee. On the prairies, having coffee is a big deal for farmers. And as Harold gathered with the other farmers, Harold used to say this almost every morning. He'd come in and they'd say, "How you doing, Harold?" And Harold would say, "I'm the boss of my family. I wear the pants in this marriage. And my wife tells me which pair to put on every morning." Now, gentlemen out there, any husbands here today who can relate to these words? Well, be honest, come on. Today's sermon title on Thanksgiving Sunday is Thank God for Marriage. Our sermon will suggest 3 points that compares marriage with our relationship with God. First of all, there's a sense of need. Second of all, a time of emotional excitement. And third, an act of ongoing commitment. Follow your sermon outline today as we look at these thoughts. In both the marriage relationship and our relationship with God, there is a sense of need. Genesis 2:18 says, "Then the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone." The very first thing in all creation that God said was not good. Did you catch it? After every day of creation, he said, "It is good, it is good." But the first thing he said was not good. That the man should be alone. And God said, "That's no good. I'm going to do something about that." So he brought to the man Eve, the woman, and Adam was no longer alone. My friends, all of us as human beings have a need for an intimate and close relationship. This need for a relationship with somebody else drives some people to unbelievable lengths to fill that emptiness. This was the message of a song, actually, that was written in 1980. It's just as applicable today as it was then. Listen to the song entitled "Looking for Love." Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in too many faces. Looking for love, looking for love, looking for love. Alone. We've all been there. We need the closeness of one another. That's how God has made us. And sooner or later, we come to the same quest in our spiritual lives. God made us to be in close relationship with Him. Existing apart from our Lord God means that something in our lives is missing. We are incomplete. Saint Augustine, who was the spiritual father of Luther, said this: "The heart is restless until it finds its rest in you, O God." Aloneness is a relational problem. And it needs a relational answer. And Christianity is a story of Almighty God breaking through the relationship barriers of our sin to come to us. Jesus Christ says of himself in the Gospels, "For I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and to save those who are lost." He has come to establish a relationship with us. The story is as old as all creation. Ben read it today in the text. When our first parents, Adam and Eve, broke their relationship with God, what did he do? He came looking for them. And as they hid due to their shame and their guilt, God said to them, "Where are you?" As if he didn't know where they were. They couldn't hide behind those bushes, but God, in saying, "Where are you?" were speaking the words of a loving Lord, wanting to restore the relationship that they had broken. And at the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ fully reestablishes that broken relationship. Jesus' resurrection victory from the death, his defeat of sin, death, and the devil, has established with us an eternal relationship. Not just until death do us part, but unto life everlasting. My friends, please listen carefully to this next word I'm going to speak. Because all of us in this congregation have brokenness in our lives, in our relationships, in our marriages, with our families and loved ones. Our Lord Jesus Christ can restore the broken relationships that we have with others. The forgiveness of sins that he provides and the new life that he gives us can spill into our earthly relationships and make a world of difference. Let me tell you, in all my years of ministry, there have been many marriages brought back from the brink of destruction by the power of forgiveness. We now move, look at your sermon outline, to our sermon second point, similarity between marriage and our relationship with God. In both marriage and our relationship with God, there is a period of emotional excitement. We read from Genesis 2, "And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and brought her to the man. And the man said, 'At last, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.'" Can you picture that scene? Picture that scene. Imagine Adam's excitement, no longer alone. All the other animals were wonderful, but as soon as he laid his eyes on Eve, hubba hubba, he knew she was like a creature unlike any of the others. "At last," he cries out. In Hebrew, we could translate Adam saying, "That's what I'm talking about." Wow. Oh, the honeymoon days of newly married life. Every new kiss, every new discovery, never tiring of telling anybody, "Look, we just got married." The first apartment, the first furniture, the first time a bride sees her new name on an envelope mailed to their new address. But then reality hits soon enough, and there are unpaid bills and leaky kitchen faucets. But oh, the emotional excitement of the honeymoon. There's a similar excitement in the believer's spiritual honeymoon with God. New Christians are fun to watch as they demonstrate they are in love with the Lord and can't wait to come to the Lord's house for worship, can't wait to come to Bible class, can't wait to share their faith with other people. But as it is with marriage, the spiritual honeymoon doesn't last. All Christians experience unpaid bills and leaky faucets. That is to say, we all face difficult times in our lives. Life brings us bumps and bruises. We let God down. We let others and ourselves down. The pure emotional excitement of our relationship with God ends. But, are you listening to this? But, as it was with marriage, Now it is time, and as it is with God, now it is time to establish a relationship with God based on more than just feelings. It's time to know God's love, and our relationship with Him are not based on just fleeting feelings that go up and down, but on the solid facts of Jesus' death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave. The end of our honeymoon with God prepares us for the beginning of maturity and a depth in relationship with Him. As Beverly and I go make visits to see some of our elderly shut-in, it is our faith that is strengthened as we meet these people in their mid to late 90s who have known the faithful commitment of God throughout their entire life. Maybe the emotional excitement is not quite there, but the long-standing maturity of faith strengthens our faith. Some time ago, as Beverly were walking our dog on Steveston Boardwalk, we saw a couple in their 90s walking hand in hand, stopping every few moments to smell a flower, notice something, to share an embrace. But I can only imagine what the gentleman said to his wife at one point, because she visibly blushed and she slapped his face. In the Christian life, our relationship with God is not just based on emotional feelings. It's a growing love and trust that comes with years of walking with the Lord, regardless of the ups and downs of life. This brings us to our third and final point. Do you have it in front of you? Both our marriage and our relationship with God is an act of ongoing commitment. Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and become one flesh." Leave, cleave, one flesh is talking about a commitment from the wedding ceremony and beyond. You see, the point of a wedding is simple. What is it? It's this: put your convictions on the line and then cross it. Cross that line. Nothing held back. Make your promise of commitment to God, your pastor, your family and friends. And the words spoken in a marriage ceremony are these: until death parts us. And you even sign a wedding certificate as proof of this new beginning. My friends, our relationship with God needs the same kind of beginning. People make this beginning in different ways. In holy baptism, God comes to us to make us His child, as He did for Jennifer this morning. And in response, we say to God, "I will and I do." On confirmation day, we stand before our Lord, as a number of you did a few weeks ago, as our youth do from time to time as well. On confirmation day, we publicly say yes to the commitment God made to us in our baptisms. And then there are those times in people's lives when they're maybe a little older and they believe the good news of Jesus for the first time in their lives as the Holy Spirit works faith in their heart through God's word. And they humbly declare, "Yes, Lord, I commit my life to You." But my friends, the real act of commitment is the commitment that Almighty God has made for us. At the cross of Jesus Christ and His empty grave, Almighty God has committed Himself to you forever. On the cross, Jesus makes us God's children beyond "from death do us part" unto life everlasting. Nothing can change His love and commitment for us. This is so very important for sinners like you and me. This is so very important for our marriages and our families, the struggle with the result of sin and bad choices and heartaches. But please never forget, I wonder if anybody can tell me, where was Jesus' first miracle performed? Do you know? At the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' presence there, look at John chapter 2, by the way. Jesus' presence there and His choice to do His first miracle there, water into wine, demonstrates His desire, even today, to bless and to strengthen all marriages, all marriages. His love and forgiveness and his presence is what all of our households needs today. Everybody here today, whether you're married or single or widowed or whatever your state in life might be, everyone here today, listen to this. Your Lord Jesus says to you, I will never give you up. My hands were nailed to the cross to show my commitment to you. My commitment to you is shown in the forgiveness of your sins and my strength for your daily lives. I am committed to you beyond on death until life everlasting. My friends, today we've talked about God's gift of marriage. We thank God for marriage. And we've seen that God gave us the gift of marriage, number one, that our sense of need might be fulfilled of not being alone. That our emotions and excitements and our sexuality may be enjoyed. And number three, that we might learn the blessings of ongoing commitment. And in God's gift of marriage, we have seen a picture, a snapshot of our relationship with Him. Is there an ultimate message of marriage? Yes, there is. A marriage rooted in the commitment that Jesus Christ has made to us can teach others all around us the power of God's love and forgiveness for all people. Such a marriage will make the world around us stand up and take notice. Thanks be to God. Thank God for the gift of marriage. In the name of Jesus. Amen.